Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to a new episode of Germany in Focus, a podcast made possible by members of The Local. Today, we're going to talk about the controversy surrounding Germany's national football team's kit. We'll hear how Germany is aiming to have more punctual trains by Christmas and in the next 6 years. You've probably already seen Spargel or asparagus creeping onto menus in beer gardens across Germany. That means it's Spargelzeit and we're going to talk about it. A new ranking has found Germans are becoming significantly unhappier. We'll explore why that could be. Finally, we'll hear about the German tax deadlines that you should get in your diary for this year. I'm Rachel Loxton, and I'm in Berlin today with these lovely guys and journalists, Paul Krantz and Aaron Burnett. Hello.
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 How's it going?
Well, it's finally spring here. So.
I know,
it's great. This past Easter was lovely. And despite cannabis legalization, I will say I have not encountered any more of that absolutely atrociously disgusting smell of Kiffen in Berlin. At least I've not encountered more of it than I usually would because, you know, it's Berlin.
It's so. Just the normal amount.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the obscenely high normal amount of cannabis smells.
A high amount of cannabis indeed. And, you know, so it's a lovely change of season here in general. Nice that it's finally going on.
Agree. And it's going to be really warm this weekend as well. And how are you doing, Paul?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I had a lovely Easter weekend break. I got to visit a spa town on the east side of Czech. Yeah, the Germans call it Karlsbad. Mm-hmm. In Czech, it's like Karlovy Vary, something like this. But anyway, yeah, spent some nice
short
time.
Short train ride away.
Exactly. Yeah, took the Deutsche Bahn over there and settled into a hot spring pool and had a great time.
That sounds really lovely. Let's start with what's been in the news this week. There's been quite a lot of talk about the newest design of Germany's national football team shirts after one of the kit numbers drew comparisons to a Nazi symbol. The number 4 worn by national team players was said to have a resemblance to the symbol used by the Nazis' SS units during World War II. Paul, can you tell us more? What's this all about?
Sure, H. So it's not just the number 4 by itself, but 2 4s side by side that's becoming problematic. So 44, as it appears in the typeface on the new German football team jerseys, looks strikingly similar to a lightning bolt symbol that was used by the SS during World War II and the Holocaust. So the SS, or Schutzstaffel, of course, was a paramilitary organization under Hitler's Third Reich, and it carried out the industrialized genocide of Jewish people across Europe. And the stylized SS symbol is banned in Germany today. So it's easy to see why this typeface choice was met with immediate criticism. It should be noted that the football team players' numbers only go as high as 26.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a player number 4 and there's a player number 14, but there's no player 44. So it's possible that Adidas and the German football team hadn't considered the way the number 44 would look on the jerseys. But since the controversy has erupted, there's been finger-pointing going around. So Adidas says it doesn't actually design the typeface for the numbers on the uniforms. And the German football team said it checked the numbers 0 through 9 and then passed them on to the European Football Association for approval. And the German football team apparently works with a partner called 11 Team Sports that actually designed the look of the letters and the numbering. So regardless of how this all went down, I mean, these decisions, like everything about the team jersey and how it looks, go through multiple levels of review and approval at every stage of the design and production process. So it's kind of baffling to outsiders that this could make it all the way through to production.
as you mentioned, Paul, Adidas, which manufactures the kit, it has said it is going to ban fans from getting customized shirts with the number 44 on it. How are people reacting to all of this?
Right. So as I had said, there's no player with 44 on their team jersey. But on the Adidas website, fans could customize the numbers and letters on their jerseys. So, for example, if they wanted to have like their name and their favorite number on a custom jersey, they could order it. So someone could have feasibly ordered a 44 jersey. But after this similarity to the SS symbol was noted publicly, there was a cause for concern that neo-Nazis or similar types might purposefully order these with the 44 on them. So Adidas said on Monday that they've blocked the sale of jerseys with the number 44. And apparently there's a redesign of the 4 typeface also in the works. A German historian named Michael Koenig seems to have been among the first to call this out on social media. So he posted a picture of the jersey with the 4 on it on X and said, quote, "Historically, it is very questionable to allow such jerseys." Mm-hmm. An Adidas spokesperson had denied the kit's resemblance to the Nazi symbols and said it was not intentional. And Adidas, in a statement, reaffirmed the company's commitment to opposing xenophobia and anti-Semitism. And by the way, it's probably worth noting that the company is particularly sensitive to connections to fascism and anti-Semitism. Adidas founders, Adi and Rudi Dassler, were Nazi Party members. And during World War II, their shoe factory was actually commissioned to manufacture anti-tank weapons. Mm-hmm. So the company has done a lot in the decades since then to distance itself from this history by emphasizing the diversity of its modern team and its current values.
This is not the kind of press that they will want, especially ahead of the Euro 2024 tournament being held in Germany this summer, right?
Right. Yeah. Football jerseys in particular and football-related apparel is really a big revenue stream for Adidas. And I think it's tough to say if this will actually impact Adidas sales ahead of Euro 2024. In fact, if I had to guess, I would say it might not impact sales that much because, let's face it, if you're a fan and you want like the authentic Adidas kit, you really don't have any other choice. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly not a good look for the company. And also, it's kind of the latest in a series of bad press that Adidas has been getting. So first, the Germany's new away game kit was met with kind of disbelief and criticism from some of the German football audience. They had introduced like a pink and blue color scheme to the team's kit, which was rather unusual. And that didn't sit well with everyone. And then the German football team announced that it would be ending the 77-year relationship with Adidas to switch to Nike from 2027. And now this.
Yeah, I mean, why are they switching to Nike? And is this controversial?
Yeah, I think we could say it is kind of controversial. So the football team will be outfitted by US-based Nike from 2027. And until now, I think that was rather inconceivable, really, to the German mind, because Adidas and the German football team have been partnered for 77 years, basically since their origin. And yeah, they've kind of just like grown up together. So Adidas supplied the German team with the boots they wore when they first won the World Cup in 1954. And they've been wearing Adidas shoes and uniforms basically ever since. And as the team was kind of coming up in the world and becoming really a world force in football, Adidas was also growing into an international brand that it is now. It's now the second largest brand in the world in sportswear, by the way, second only to Nike. So the German team was strapped for cash in recent years, and Nike came in with a huge offer, basically. It was like double what Adidas had been paying to maintain their exclusive contract. So the reaction to that from both Adidas and Germans more broadly was one of shock. Even the economy minister, Robert Habeck, had weighed in on that one, initially saying that the partnership between Adidas and German football was a piece of German identity and that he would have liked to see a little more patriotism. So I think it's clear that the German football team's decision was really only about the money, but the timing here is just really unfortunate for Adidas. Mm. And with all these things happening at once, from the controversial color choice to the German team dropping off, now to the 44 issue, from the outside, it kind of looks like Adidas is just coming apart at the seams.
Yeah, it's really not good for them, is it? Thank you so much for that, Paul. There's been some good news recently for train travelers in Germany after the GDL Train Drivers Union reached a deal with Deutsche Bahn after a long-running dispute. It means that there are no more train strikes, at least for a good while. But let's face it, there are still big issues facing passengers in Germany, and the big one is punctuality. But this week, Transport Minister Volker Wissing said he was sure that things were going to improve by Christmas and that train travel in Germany will get a lot better in the next 6 years. Aaron, can you tell us more? Is this going to happen?
Well, we can never be sure when it comes to German infrastructure and transport, I'm afraid. But we do have what the transport ministry is saying, at least. So, Paul, Rach, what do you think is the percentage of German trains that were on time last year? Give me a wild guess.
On time.
Yeah, on time.
Like on time to their destination. End of
yeah.
line.
And on time is being defined as you get to your destination within 6 minutes of your scheduled arrival time.
I would say 60%.
60. Okay.
Yeah, that seems like a reasonable guess. I was going to say more than half, but maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say 80%.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's actually 64%.
So,
Rachel, you win a prize for being the closest. I'll see what I have in my, you know, bag of goodies over here. And, you know, by see what I have, I mean nothing. But that percentage, that 64% there, that is sort of a figure that made the Swiss state rail company. They felt the need to specifically indicate to their customers that most of their delayed trains originated in Germany. And so, you know, it's our fault, basically. So that punctuality rating is also below a country that Germans often like to paint as being dysfunctional. Italy actually has a higher punctuality rating than us, although not by much. It's about 67%. The Czech Republic, barely over 70%, but still beating us. And that's really just because infrastructure here in Germany is in such a state of disrepair. It's been deteriorating for a number of years. And there are about 40 high traffic sections of track that are either getting or need work done. So that's a few. One of these is the Riedbahn, and that is between Frankfurt and Mannheim. It is a tremendously busy corridor, and about one in every seven long-distance trains in this country has to pass through that particular corridor. But it's been closed for months, and trains have had to divert around it. So the transport ministry estimates that at least one network disruption happens because of that particular closure. Get this, every single day. Every day.
Fantastic.
I know. However, that section is scheduled to reopen on July 15th, just in time for the Euros.
And my birthday on July 18th.
Oh, wow. What a nice little present for you. You know? And the transport minister is hoping that that is when we're going to start seeing some gradual improvements amounting to a noticeable change by Christmas. I'm not sure why it is that it takes 5 months from them reopening for us to notice like a very noticeable change. But apparently there's network effects that are involved here.
Yeah, I love that. I love that they have to give a number of months to bed it in just in case.
Yeah, I mean, implementation periods are a thing that are known to us here in Germany.
True. Aaron, what is the government's goal for punctuality?
Well, the short-term goal is to improve punctuality to 70%. Now, again, as we've said, that is defined as arriving within 6 minutes of your scheduled time. Longer term, so 2030, the government's goal is to have a punctuality rating of 80%. Now, getting into the 80% would get us into French and Austrian territory for punctuality. The Austrians are at 82, the French are at 87. So even hitting 80 would be an improvement, but not even close to, you know, the French, who Germans also sometimes like to paint as being dysfunctional. So there you go. And it's a far cry from Denmark, Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg. Those guys are all well above 90%. And then there is Switzerland, of course. The guys that like to blame us for their late trains, they have a punctuality rating of 98% for their trains.
I don't know if we'll ever beat the Swiss.
Yeah, no, I don't know if we're going to do that. Yeah.
And sticking with the theme of transport here, can you believe it, guys? It's almost a year since the Deutschland ticket came out. This is the €49 monthly pass that allows people to travel on regional and local transport anywhere in Germany, although, of course, not high-speed trains, as we've been talking about. But we do have a little update on the discounted Deutschland ticket for students that was agreed by governments. But I think it's a bit of a different picture throughout Germany. Is that right, Aaron?
Yes, it is a real patchwork, and it can get very, very confusing. So the student semester ticket is supposed to be, in theory, available now for the summer semester and cost students about 29 euros instead of 49. And you get all the benefits you would normally get with that 49 euro ticket. As you were saying, you know, unlimited travel on local and regional transport throughout Germany, not high speed trains, et cetera, et cetera. But of course, theory and practice are different. Some universities aren't participating at all, especially when their semester ticket is already cheaper than this offer. And other universities just haven't concluded the necessary contracts with their local and regional transport authorities. So unfortunately, you might have to check directly with your university or higher education institute to see if they have an agreement necessary for you to qualify. Plus, also in some cases, you might well ask, how much will this actually change? Baden-Württemberg already has a youth ticket for roughly the same amount. Bavaria has a similar arrangement. So do Hesse and Hamburg. But many other federal states will see this option come online in the next few months. Again, it depends on your institution. The exception to this is Rheinland-Pfalz, the Rheinland in the Southwest. A discounted Deutschland semester ticket will only be available to some institutions there, particularly in Mainz and Trier, beginning in fall. So missing out on the summer semester there, unfortunately.
Good to know. Finally, there are a few night trains coming up. What can you tell us about that?
So the European Sleeper connecting Berlin to Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Antwerp and Brussels via a night train. This was announced last year to great fanfare. That has been extended as of a couple of days ago. That same train is now making stops in both Dresden and Prague. So people in the Saxon capital in particular now have a direct night train connection there. Plus, on April 8th, Austrian Rail puts online a bunch of new night routes going particularly from Munich and Stuttgart. These include night routes all the way down to Italy, Bolzano, for example. Yeah.
So, love this.
Yeah, those who are down in the south there can get some Italian sun, go to sleep and wake up in the near the beach.
Sounds beautiful.
I know, wait, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's all the train news that we've got.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy that, Munichers.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Aaron. If you were out and about in Germany over the Easter weekend, you may have noticed that one special food is coming back on the menus, and that is asparagus. Germans really go wild for Spargel or asparagus around this time of year. And in fact, the harvest has started a little earlier than usual. Paul, tell us, how important is Spargel to Germany? And do we know where this tradition comes from?
Yeah, I think anyone who's lived through the spring season in Germany has probably noticed this country has kind of a quirky obsession with asparagus. White asparagus in particular, as opposed to green asparagus, which is more common in the US, for example, where I come from. I think among some young Germans, foreigners, and city dwellers, Spargelzeit, meaning asparagus time or asparagus season, is kind of like a meme. It's like this funny aspect of life in Germany. And in the spring, it's like, basically, you know, everywhere you go out to dinner, there's going to be asparagus on the menu,
yeah.
Right?
It's very memeable, yeah.
Totally. And this asparagus is just popping up in places where it doesn't really belong, like maybe in a dessert or a cocktail.
You've had an asparagus cocktail?
I haven't had one, but I've heard that it's on the menu somewhere.
I would not be surprised.
We must find this, guys.
We must find it. But to do what? To try it?
Yeah.
No. No, you can.
As to where this tradition came from, it is...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you.
Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Generally thought that the Romans likely brought asparagus to Germany first, and that it was farmed here as early as the 2nd century. However, that seems to have ended with the collapse of the Roman Empire until the Italians brought it back some centuries later.
Why has the season started a bit early, Paul, and what can people expect in the coming weeks?
Basically, a warm start to spring has kickstarted the asparagus growing season in Germany this year. So asparagus tends to grow best on warm and sunny days, and during a typical German spring, we might not see many of those until a bit later in the season. But this year, we've already seen quite a few 20-plus degree days in parts of Germany, even in March. So asparagus farmers started the harvest kind of early this year. Bielitz is this asparagus-growing hub not far from us here in Berlin, and the chairman of the Bielitz Asparagus Association said that Brandenburg's asparagus farmers are expecting a good season with an early harvest this year. So I think farmers have already begun harvesting some asparagus before the Easter weekend, and you can expect to see Spargel on the menu at your local restaurants very soon, and Spargel on the shelves of your local grocery store shortly after that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so much Spargel everywhere.
Yeah,
Spargel over everything.
I honestly did see it out in Grunewald, you know, the little forest area near Berlin. There was Spargel on the beer garden menus just at the weekend.
It's already there.
Spargel site has begun.
They had the first crop. Perhaps. Paul, do you have any recommendations for how to enjoy asparagus and any trivia that we must know about the German love of it?
I should admit I'm not a huge asparagus fan myself. I don't actively dislike it, but I also don't go out of my way to eat it. So I'm perhaps not the best source for recipes here. But traditionally, I think Germans like to either roast or steam asparagus and serve it simply with some butter or a creamy sauce and potatoes. It's also good in soups or salads.
Hollandaise sauce. I'm convinced that lots of Germans just order Spargel for the hollandaise.
If you really want to embrace the Spargelzeit way of life, I think you really just have to go nuts with it. Like put it on a pizza, drop it in your martini.
don't tell the Italians.
Bake an asparagus cake. Like if you really think about it, there's nothing you can't add asparagus to.
Yeah.
If you want to.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a meme.
If you need a bit of inspiration, you could take a drive along one of Germany's asparagus roads or even drop by an asparagus festival. And a fun fact I learned recently is that Germany is actually the 4th largest asparagus farming nation.
Really?
In the world. That's behind China, Peru, and Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Germany produces over 100,000 tons of asparagus every year. But despite growing this much, Germany's appetite for asparagus is so large that it still needs to import about 20,000 tons more.
Ooh. Is that like green asparagus that, you know, people like as opposed to white? I don't know. That'd be interesting to see.
It's the white asparagus.
I think it's still, mostly white asparagus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. People love their Spargel here. Unfortunately, it is so gross.
Aaron doesn't like it.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan. However, one thing I do find interesting is like it's such a cottage industry here that you might be familiar, for example, in the German wine industry, you'll have like the wine queen, which is, you know, part, you know, sort of almost contest winner and then part wine industry lobbyist, basically. The same actually exists in certain cases with Spargel queens. There are indeed Spargel queens.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Exactly. You can win.
Yeah. And in fact, working at the local, I've actually discovered there is a queen and sometimes a king for almost everything. There's like pumpkin queen.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many that I've just come across that usually, you know, when I'm looking for pictures or researching a story and I can only admire their dedication to seasons and food.
So why wouldn't there be a Spargel queen?
Yeah, obviously. There's a strawberry queen.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that. We love these Spargel facts. People in Germany are getting unhappier. That's according to the UN's latest World Happiness Report, which ranked Germany in 24th spot, down from 16th place during the last ranking. Aaron, Germany is, by all accounts, a very prosperous and stable country. Why are people seemingly getting unhappier?
Well, Rach, there is rising cost of living, and a lot of the support we saw at the beginning of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine to help mitigate that economic havoc that Vladimir Putin's decision to invade has caused around Europe, a lot of that support has ended, but costs are still high. Nordic countries have done more to funnel wealth into well-being, according to experts that we have spoke with at the local. And that's why they are generally happier, despite also being affected by the economic fallout of Russia's violent, unprovoked aggression. We've seen that support end due to fiscal pressures in Germany, like the constitutional debt break. But also, Germany is a country that is somehow beset by a skilled labor shortage and falling industrial demand at the same time, and real wages have barely budged. They've even fallen in some cases. People are making less in real terms than they were before and having to pay for more. And when it comes to foreigners who settle here, we see that settling in is difficult in Germany compared to other countries, and there's a lot of bureaucracy. So a lot of those things just come together in a ranking like this one.
How does Germany's happiness levels compare to other countries?
Well, previous rankings have put Germany as one of the unhappiest countries in the European Union.
I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah. In 24th place this time around in the global ranking, we're just ahead of Mexico and a few places ahead of France. So you'll be happy to know that we've beaten the French by a few spots at least.
On something?
Yeah, I know. There you go. Sorry to our French colleagues. But there's a long way to that top 10 with the Nordics, the Dutch, and the New Zealanders really pretty cemented in there, for example.
One notable part of the report was that the under 30s in Germany are more unhappy than older people, it seems. Paul, I know you were looking into that. What did you find out about it?
Right. So as opposed to Germans overall, Germans under 30 actually ranked 47th in the world for happiness. So that's significantly lower than the rest of Germans, which shows that the satisfaction among the youth in Germany has really fallen significantly compared to the older generations. I spoke to a 28-year-old German about this, and he listed basically a lot of the same factors that Aaron just mentioned, like a rising cost of living, a lack of affordable housing, a lack of good jobs, especially good jobs for young people who are trying to start their careers, war in Europe as well, and climate change. And he also called out economic inequality in Germany and the fact that the wealthiest in this country have succeeded in paying very little tax, while the young working class people are watching social benefits that their parents enjoyed kind of erode. Interestingly, this trend of growing unhappiness among the younger generation is not unique only to Germany here. I saw that it's also been observed in the US, for example. So perhaps there's a worldwide trend to consider here, like social media use, for example. But overall, I think younger people are very aware that they're facing a world that demands more and offers less, perhaps, than the world of their parents. And that's affecting happiness.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. We've talked about some of the rankings that show foreigners living in Germany find it really hard to settle here. They find it hard to make friends, and they struggle with lots of aspects of life, such as finding housing or doing all the paperwork. Do you guys think people in Germany generally don't feel satisfied? And do you think there's any solution to this?
Well, it must be said that Germans aren't well known for looking on the bright side of life, culturally speaking. We all know this. Although the same could be said of many Europeans, including the first place Finns. I have a Finnish friend who I talked to about this particular ranking, and she's like, yeah, we're in first. You would never know it if you did. So maybe it's a European versus a North American
cultural
thing occasionally.
I love the Finnish people.
Yeah.
I think they're amazing.
Yeah, no, it's they're fantastic. But it's interesting to kind of discuss these kinds of rankings with people from those particular countries. You know, maybe it's just a wider European thing. And a lot of the issues that Germans are facing are also seen in other countries. I speak to some family and friends back home in Canada right now, where rising cost of living is particularly an acute problem at the moment. Worse, I would say, than here even. A big part of all of this, I would say, is political. German politics isn't traditionally a place where big visions for how you address the future are discussed. I mean, former Chancellor Helmut Schmidt even once said that anyone with visions should get themselves a pair of glasses. But ultimately, I think that some of German hopelessness comes from a lack of convincing leadership that is willing to make a bold case for certain things. So sure, we have a current government that has reformed immigration. It's allowing dual citizenship. It's legalized cannabis. But it's been a long time since there was German leadership that said, look, this is how we're going to fix the housing crisis. This is how we're going to grow the economy instead of manage its decline. And this is how we are going to, you know, stand up for our values on an increasingly dangerous and insecure continent with, you know, neo-imperialist and authoritarian Russians invading whoever they like with without proper consequences the same way. That political and social confidence is missing, in my view, in Germany in particular.
I feel like almost everyone I talk to who comes to Germany as a foreigner eventually has this kind of like wake up moment where you're like, wait a second, why am I here? like we know there's so many good things about living in Germany, right? But yeah. But then every now and then you just, it all kind of adds up. Maybe in the middle of winter, like it's the bad weather, it's the grumpy faces, it's the bureaucracy hanging over your head. And yeah. At some point you're like, this is all kind of a bit much. Like, why am I dealing with this? And personally, I do sometimes wonder like how much sunshine is just a huge factor for all of this or the lack thereof. Like,
yeah.
Like if we had Germany, but 50% more sunshine, would German people in general smile more, for example?
I don't know. Then why are the Nordics so much happier?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm from Scotland and we don't get any sunshine ever.
That's fair. Yeah, no, that does. The Nordics are a good case study against
That's
this point,
true.
Right? But
yeah, I would be lying. I mean, I quite enjoy living here, but there's obviously parts of it that still frustrate me, like the bureaucracy and indeed the weather. It's the reason I go to Spain for 10 days
for
January.
I agree kind of with everything that you guys are seeing. But I would also add into this that I think Germans also just have a really high standard for things.
True.
Like I noticed this in the healthcare system that people talk about, you know, they're really unhappy with the waiting times and various aspects. But to me, the healthcare system is amazing,
yeah.
You know, compared to the NHS in Scotland and in the UK, even though that is a great concept. It's, you know, severely underfunded.
Yeah.
And a bit of me just kind of thinks like, they're just hard to impress,
yeah.
The Germans.
Yeah, I know. I whenever I explain to most Germans that you can wait 10 hours or more in a Canadian emergency room, I get all kinds of looks that I must be lying. But that is unfortunately true. So the high standard is an interesting case. I think you have something there.
Yeah, everything's a matter of perspective, ultimately.
We're going to round things off today by listening to a section that we recorded earlier on tax deadlines, and it features our regular panelist, Imogen Goodman. So let's start with a little overview. Imogen, who has to submit a tax return?
So freelancers and self-employed people are the main group who need to submit a tax return by a set deadline. But there are also some other situations in which you would also be obliged to submit your tax return, normally the year after the previous tax year. So one example is people who are employed, perhaps, but who have received more than €410 in a wage replacement benefits. For example, a period of unemployment, so this is Arbeitslosengeld, maybe sickness, Krankengeld, parental leave, Elterngeld, or a kind of furlough short-term working system. So like we had during COVID, which would be called Kurzarbeitsgeld. So if any of those apply to you and you've taken more than €410 in benefits, then you would have to submit a tax return to declare all of that. The other group are people who may be working full-time, they may be in work, but they have additional income. So a classic example is that you rent out a flat that you own, perhaps, or that you have a side hustle. So if you have that additional income of more than €410 again, then you will also fall into that group of people who do need to submit this mandatory tax return. It's worth saying, we always emphasize this, that ordinary employees don't generally have to submit a tax return by a cutoff date, but they can choose to do so within 4 years if they want to try and get a tax rebate. So this is normally pretty worth doing. There are loads of apps you can use, there are loads of guides online, and you can write off your work-related expenses. So that can be a great way to maybe get a little bit of money back later on.
What are the dates that people should put in their diary now to remind themselves about tax deadlines coming up?
Yes. So if you would like to prepare your tax return for 2023, get a nice early start on that, you have until August 31st this year to do so. And luckily, this falls on a weekend. So essentially, you actually get two more days to sift through all those old receipts and invoices. In other words, your tax return really needs to be submitted by Monday, September 2nd, 2024. It does sound like a long way off, but don't do what I do and start it the night before. If you are already planning away in advance for your 2024 tax return, if you're very much in the German spirit of being very organized, then you'll need to submit that one by July 31st, 2025. So that's on a Thursday. Sadly, we don't get any sneaky extensions there. Obviously, if you do have the money and you want to save yourself some stress and possibly lower your tax burden as well, you could take the option of hiring a Steuerberater, so a tax advisor. This actually has the added benefit of pushing back your submission deadline significantly, especially since the deadlines are still being extended a bit in the aftermath of COVID. So for instance, if you haven't submitted your 2022 tax return yet, and you are self-employed, you do need to submit one. If you use a tax return, you actually still have until July 31st this year. For the 2023 tax year, the deadline is May 31st, 2025, if you submit with a tax advisor. Mm-hmm. But again, that falls on a weekend, so you actually have until June 2nd, 2025. So like you see, if you do work with someone else to file your taxes, you have quite a few months left.
Really good to know. You should also keep in mind that if you submit a tax return late and you're not using a tax advisor, you can face having to pay extra on top of the taxes you owe. So remember, if you need an extension for any reason, talk to the Finanzamt or finance office just to see if you can work something out and request an extension. But yeah, we will also include the story in the show notes so you can check these dates again if you didn't write them all down. Imogen kindly read them all out. And Paul, what are the key dates to know as an American, because you have to submit also to the States, right?
Right. So Americans living in Germany receive, or living abroad generally, receive an automatic extension until June 15th for filing. But if you expect that you actually will owe money to the US, then you have to file and pay that by April 15th to avoid any late charges. And I read in our story on Americans filing taxes from Germany recently that it's advisable to file your German taxes first. So any Americans might want to get on those German taxes a little more promptly.
Excellent advice. That's it for this week. Thank you so much to all our listeners. As always, we will add the links in the show notes for the stories we've been talking about today. And if you get the chance, please hit follow, leave a rating or a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This week's panelists have been Paul Krantz and Aaron Burnett. We also heard from Imogen Goodman, and our sound engineer is Reese Edwards. I'm Rachel Loxton. We hope you enjoyed listening. We will be taking 1 week off next week, and then we'll be back again with a new series the following week. Until then, take care.